Colossians chapter 1. We're going to focus this morning on the end of verse 27, which says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's what we're going to get to. I want to read what Paul is saying right here. And then I want to see some truths concerning verse 27. And then I want to end this by asking this question. And I hope this will be a help and a blessing and some assurance to all of us. But I want to end this by asking this question. Is Christ in me? And that's what I've titled this. Is Christ in me? Now let's start by just seeing what Paul is saying. Look with me at verse 19. He said, "For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Isn't the gospel glorious as we read this? Isn't it so glorious? He's talking about all of our wicked works and this is what he's done for us. He goes on in verse 23 to say, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Verse 24, he says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up." That means take the fullness of it. "That which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." Paul suffered many afflictions for preaching Christ. He suffered many afflictions. He was beaten. He was persecuted. He was thrown in prison. He suffered many things. But he said it's all worth it because of who the afflictions are for. Therefore, the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head, and therefore the service of his church, who is the body. In verse 24, he said, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God." And that word means the commission, the calling, the responsibility that has been given to me of God. Verse 25, "Whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." That means to fully preach the word of God. This commission, he said, that's the commission. That's the responsibility that has been given to me for you, to fully preach the word. And that's the commission. That is the commission. We're not to preach our opinion on the word. We're not to preach another man's opinion on the word. We are to preach the word. That's our commission. Verse 26, he went on to say, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." I believe that portion is a little hard to follow. I read it and I pray the Lord will make it clear to us. But what he's saying is, I've been given the responsibility of fully preaching the Word of God, which holds the mystery of the gospel in it. The Word of God holds the mystery of the gospel in it. And this is what the mystery is. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in his people, if the Lord would turn the light on to this. Oh, this is just a revelation. Christ in his people is the hope of glory. That's their hope of glory. Them in him. That's what the next verse goes on to say. If you look at verse 28, it says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Them in him, him in them. God's people are in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in God's people. That's the hope of glory. That's the hope of glory. Now, let's dwell on a few things here in verse 27. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The gospel is a mystery that has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit of God. It has to be revealed. If he does not reveal it, men and women read the Bible cover to cover. They do it all the time. I've read the Bible cover to cover. That's wonderful. That's a good idea. I'm all for that. But men and women can read and read and read and read and study and study and study and study. And if God's Holy Spirit does not reveal it, it'll never be seen. It will never be understood. This is not something that a man's intellect can just figure out and understand on his own. It has to be revealed. In Mark chapter 4, the Lord called it the mystery of the kingdom. In Ephesians 1, it calls it the mystery of his will. Ephesians 3 calls it the mystery of Christ. At the end of Colossians 2, verse 2, if you look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, the very end of it says that it is the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. It's the mystery of the Spirit, the mystery of the Father, the mystery of the Son, God. The mystery of God. 1 Timothy 3:16 calls it, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So this hope of glory is a mystery that must be revealed by God's Holy Spirit. And he will reveal it to every single one of his people. That's important to know. That's important to know. He will reveal it to every single one of his chosen, particular, elect people. If he chose them, he will reveal this mystery to them. Verse 27 says, to whom God would make known. God makes this known to whomever he's purposed to reveal it to. It's not generally known by the world. It's known to those who God chose to reveal it to. And who did he choose to reveal it to? Look at the end of verse 26. His saints. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known his people. Turn with me over to John 14. John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He dwells with his people and shall be in his people. Verse 25 right here says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. Whatever I've said, he will recall that to you. He'll make that known to you. Look at chapter 15, verse 26. John 15, verse 26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. When he comes, he will testify of me. He will speak of me. He will teach me. He will reveal me, Christ. Look at chapter 16, verse 12. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. I tell you, the best way to know when the Holy Spirit is not there, people walk out of that place saying, boy, we had the Spirit today. The Spirit was there. The Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. The Spirit, the Spirit. He will not speak of himself. As some spirit was there, but not the Holy Spirit. So verse 13, he said, when he's come, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Where the Spirit is, the glory of Christ is. Where the true revelation of the Spirit is, Christ is glorified. The people walk out of there saying, Christ, Christ, isn't Christ amazing? Isn't Christ wonderful and glorious? That's the Spirit of truth. Verse 14 says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. God's Spirit will reveal the hope of glory to whomever he's been pleased to reveal it to. Now, what is the hope of glory? What is that? I've already said it, but I'm going to say it in this way. Substitution. Substitution. It dawns on me as I prepare these, I don't want to take for granted that anybody, I say it this way, I don't want to take for granted that everybody knows this and is ready to go meet God. I want to take this as though none of us know this, and this needs to be confirmed to all of us. I want this to be so confirmed to me because we are going to go meet God. And there is only one hope of glory. And this is what it is. It's that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Substitution. Substitution. Go with me back to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, we read it just a moment ago, verse 21 says that we by nature in our flesh We were alienated from God. It says we were enemies of God, and it's all because of our wicked works of sin. What must a holy God who must punish sin, what must a holy God do to a soul like that? He must condemn and punish that soul. He must. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Surely. But verse 22 says that Christ will present us to his Father holy and unblameable and unreprovable. That means unaccusable in his sight. How can that be? How can that possibly be? Here's the answer. Christ in us and us in Christ. This is the answer. With us being in Christ, you think about us. Think about me. Think about you. Just think about us in everything that we are. When God the Father looked at Christ, he saw all the wicked works of us in him. Us in him. He saw all the alienation. He saw all the enmity of us in him. And God dealt to Christ everything that was owed to us. He was dealing that to us. We're going to look at something tonight that even more so clearly revealed that to me. But he dealt to us everything that we were deserving of in him. With that being settled and done, God the Father did that. With that being done, God the Father now looks at us, and this is what he sees. Christ in us. In all of his holiness, in all of his purity, in all of his... There's nothing blameable about him, nothing accusable concerning him. And when he sees us in him, he deals to Christ. Why would he do this for us? He's dealing it to Christ. He said, he's the one I'm well pleased with. He deals all the glory of heaven to Christ in us. How can we be accepted? How can we be considered this? Holy and unblameable? Have you seen me? Well, he deals all that to Christ in us. Substitution. All right? That's our hope of glory. Now, this is what I want to know this morning. I'm not going to take too much longer with this, but this is what I want to know. Is Christ in me? And I'm being serious. Is Christ in me? If my hope of glory is totally dependent on Christ being in me, God the Father looking at me and seeing Christ in me, if that's my acceptance, if that's my holiness, if that's my righteousness, if that is my hope, then I have to know this. Is Christ in me? Is there any evidence that we can have of knowing whether or not Christ is in us? The answer is yes. Yes, there is. Philippians 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." 1 Corinthians 2 says, "God's people have the mind of Christ." 1 John 4 says, "As he is, so are we in this world." Now, I know that we are still carrying around this old man of the flesh, but I don't have time to talk about him anymore right now. Let's take just a minute and think about some things and see if there's any evidence of Christ, the new man, living in here too. We still have that old man. But let's see if there's any evidence of Christ, the new man, living in here too. Because if he does live in here, that's our hope of glory. I'm not going to take the time to turn to scripture references to support all this. If anybody needs references, I'll give them to you. But for now, I'm just going to say some things based on what the scripture has to say about Christ. Okay? If Christ is in me, and you assess yourself, okay, if Christ is in you, I'm going to say if Christ is in me, I mean us. If Christ is in me, I will love God. And I'm talking about capital G, capital O, capital D, God. I'm talking about the true and living God Almighty. Father, Son, and Spirit, God. I'm talking about verses 16 to 18, the head of everything, God. I'm not talking about this weak, puny, ridiculous, little g, nothing. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about God. God. If Christ is in me, I will love God. I will love His holiness. The fact that He must do what's right. You see, people think He's going to sweep their sin under the rug. He cannot do that. He's holy. He must do what's right. If Christ is in here, I will love His justice, the judge of the earth. I will love that the judge of the earth is going to judge all sin, even my own. David in Psalm 51 was crying, whatever you do with me, you're just and right in it. Don't you love the fact that God the Father was dissatisfied with you and judged you and condemned you in Christ and dealt with it and it's done? The flesh doesn't naturally love that. You tell the flesh naturally, this is what you are deserving of an eternity in hell. And the flesh will say, don't you dare tell me that. If Christ is in here, we will say, that's exactly what I see right here. That's exactly what this deserves, according to the just and holy law of God. If Christ is in me, I will love God. I'll love His justice. I'll love His holiness. I will love God's righteousness. God's righteousness. I will not go about trying to establish my own. I will absolutely love and look to the righteousness of God, which is Christ our Savior. If Christ is in me, I will love God's truth. I will love His word. I will love His law, the truth of it. Everything it has to say about Him, everything it has to say about me, the truth of it. If Christ is in me, I will love God's grace. This is what He said. He said, I will be gracious. I will be gracious. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He loves free grace. Think about this. Why did He do that? Because that's what He wanted to do. That's what He loved to do. He loves free grace. If He's in here, so will I. So will I. If Christ is in me, I will delight in mercy. Every time that word mercy is said, it'll be music to my ears. I will delight in it. I will delight. He said He delights in mercy. And if He's in here, so will I. Mercy provided through the blood. If Christ is in me, I will desire humility. Religion is one of the most proud places I've ever seen in my life. But if Christ is in me, I'll desire humility. I'll desire meekness. I'll desire lowliness. He said, learn of me. This is how I am, and this is what I've done. He humbled Himself. That's what He wanted to do. That's what he desired to do for his people. And if he's in me, I'll desire the same thing. John the Baptist said, I must decrease. When Christ is in a child of God, all of them say, amen. I want to. I must. Why? I want to. I just have to. I want him to increase and I want me to decrease. Do you know that honestly, that's what Christ said about his people? I want them to rise up. Therefore, I'm going to come down. Spurgeon said, I love that story of Spurgeon. He said, I have an issue with the Apostle Paul concerning 1 Timothy 1:15, where Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. I am the chief of sinners. Spurgeon said, I take an issue with him. He is sitting in my seat. I would fain tap him on the shoulder and say, sir, go up higher. That lowest seat belongs to me. That's what all of God's people say. If Christ is in me, I will desire being a servant of the Father, meaning this, I will delight in his will. His will. I will also say with absolute sincerity, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Whatever providence he sends to me, I will say, by his grace, by him being in me, I will say, if this cup of providence cannot pass except I drink it, thy will be done. It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. If Christ is in me, I will see the salvation of God's people as being finished. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 19:30, it is finished. He said in John 17, Father, I have finished the work you gave me to do. He sat down on the throne of his glory. Why? The work was finished. Had it not been finished, he would have never sat down. He says it's finished. If he's in me, I'll say it too. I'll say it's finished. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Period. Finished. Last page. If Christ is in me, I will love God's people. I will love God's people. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Oh, he loved his people. He loved them to the end. He laid down his life. Greater love has no man than this. Laid down his life for them. If he is in us, so will we. We will love union and communion with God's people. If Christ is in me, I will go to great lengths to make peace with God's people. That's what he did. He went to great lengths for that. I will go to great lengths to provide forgiveness to God's people. That's what he did. If Christ is in me, I will have compassion on God's people. I will be merciful. I will be gracious. As his desire is, so will mine be. So we can ask ourselves, we can answer it within ourselves. Do we love God? Hearing about that true and living God, do we love God? Do we love his holiness and his justice? Do we delight in his mercy? Do we delight in his will? Do we delight in his gospel? Do we delight in his worship with his people? If so, that's Christ in us. We don't get the glory for that. That's Christ in us. That's the Spirit of Christ groaning in us, living in us, crying, Abba, Father, in us. And that's our hope of glory. He is our hope of glory. Him in us, his work in us, that's the hope. And all I have to say is thank God for the hope. Thank God for the hope that he's given to us. I pray he'll give all of us that hope. All right, you're dismissed.